Welcome and thanks for listening. My name is Christian Buckley, and you're listening to the Collab Talk podcast. In this monthly conversation with Sean McDonough and Jeff Borowski, we discuss Copilot updates, a new version of Office, and more industry news. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Collab Talk podcast, where we discuss the convergence of technology, business productivity, and collaboration culture. My co-conspirators today are Sean McDonough, Senior Solution Architect and Consultant with Acumina in Cincinnati, Ohio, and an M365 Apps and Services MVP like myself. Welcome. And Mr. Jeff Borowski, a Senior Architect for Insight, who are everywhere. Co-founder of the Boston Office 365 user group and the co-founder of the new Janky Workshop on YouTube, which he's promoting. There we go. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good to be here.
And this is our... see you guys for once.
Well, so people just can see that we see each other. That's the difference here. We always see each other
where we record. Oh, we're supposed to have video on? In the past?
There's always been video, but I only posted the audio to the podcast, but we're now moving to this. You know, the kids are interested in this video thing. I think it's a flash in the pan. It's not going to last, but...
Newfangled technology.
Probably not.
Yeah, so I'm starting...
I just did the thing with the glasses.
Yeah, there you go.
Touched it.
Hey, we all have the...
Do you want a lens wipe? I can take it.
I've got a few left in my box, but
yeah.
If I use those every time I got a smear, I'd be out of money.
Yeah.
I'm out of money anyway.
Well, we're not quite monthly. It's like a month and a half, but every time we feel like it or there's big news that's out, we get together and we talk about what's happening with the various collaboration products and services that are out there. Our focus today is on just that, the latest Microsoft news, including, shocking, some news around Copilot. I know you're both surprised. We're going to talk about that.
Well, I hear that's a drinking game now. Somebody says Copilot, you got to drink.
There's a lot happening there. There's also, did you guys hear about the new version of Office coming out later this year?
Is it no, screenless?
Is it what?
Screenless.
It's the psychic interface. Move that cursor. It's gonna be great for Minesweeper. And then there's some updated adoption resources and a few other things, smaller things. I always like to leave the exciting stuff for the very end. Like mesh, anyone? You know. All right, stuff to do to talk about. Anything else? Anything else has jumped out? Newsworthy things.
Oh, my channel hit 1,000 subscribers this past month. So hey,
congratulations.
I did my part.
Thank you. All right. Later.
Borowski out.
The link will be in the description in the paragraph down below. Yes. Anything else going on? Are you guys binge watching anything that's worthy? Anything like that?
Three Body Problem. Just watch that. Did you guys read the book? All right. It's about yay thick. It's a very long book, but it's a series that was just released on Netflix. They did a pretty good job of adapting it.
The last time I tried to read a book that was about that length and was translated from Russian, if you know the ones I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't tend to go for that. I've got too much of my kids' attention span in me.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It's got to be gripping, riveting.
But decent show.
I just finished the small series on Amazon called Upload. Basically, imagine a digital afterlife. And that when you're in the process of, you know, dying, they upload you to basically, it's like a resort, and it's all these dead people, and they also interact with living people, and very weird, but it's a pretty good series.
Oh, I think I saw the ad for that. You said, is it on Is it on Prime or where is it?
Yeah, it's on Prime.
Okay. Yeah, there's a few, like, I'm trying to still catch. I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm more of a movie person, but I went and watched the Foundation series, which is also on Prime, I think. Is it funny? I don't remember where series are on which service. Or is that Apple? It might be Apple. But anyway.
That's not one I've seen. If it's Apple, that would make sense.
If you've read the books, I mean, I did as a teenager, read all the Asimov. I'm a sci-fi guy. So I don't know how accurate it is to the books. I'd have to go back, and it's been too long, but tremendous production value, just a great series. It's a little slow to start as they're doing the setup, but it blending of future tech, sci-fi, politics and religion all mixed up into a show, and watch a planet get blown up and people decimated. It's fantastic. Yeah.
What you got to see
in cloning and robots and all that kind of stuff. So, all right.
Co-pilot.
Yeah. Let's jump in. That is the future. Well, let me do this. Let me switch over and share. Is that going? I'm going to move this over. Hang on. It's a bit much the way it is now. I'm going to put it over on one screen. That's the beauty of doing video, folks, is that you get this whole experience. There we go.
And we apologize in advance.
Yes.
So there you go. You guys can both see it.
What's new in Copilot? Yes.
What's new in Copilot? Yeah. So
we're gonna lots of things are out reading.
Scrolling down through, and of course all the links will be out in the blog, so you'll be able to find it as well, and if we jump and add anything into this, but so a lot more going on there. One of the important points here, because I don't know if you guys have followed some of the conversations or have customers that are asking about Copilot, but one of the important distinctions is, you know, between what's this and between any other generally available web AI tools, is its grounding in the Microsoft Graph. That is so critical. It's why this, I went out and purchased as soon as Microsoft announced the personal licensing, the individual licensing of both the enterprise as well as Copilot Pro licensing. I went out and paid for it, installed it in my one person tenant, my CollabTalk tenant, was I wanted those benefits regardless. Like we're recording this, you know, the podcast, it's now part of my records. I can go back and search into all of those things, get insights, you know, I'll do air quotes, insights from my conversations with you guys. That's meant to be a gentle slap. Yeah.
Yeah. It just felt like a cool breeze blowing across me.
So it's all the stuff we've heard about though. The Outlook interaction, I saw a lot. I've still not gone in there and played with Copilot and Excel. There's a lot of stuff happening with Loop in general, but Copilot and Loop, and there's some great video content out there. Always push over to Daryl Webster. So Daryl's a service out on Twitter. And he and Lorian Strant are doing a bunch of content around Loop and Copilot. So definitely go take a look at that. In fact, that I will need to add that link, add a link over to their stuff in our list as well.
Yeah. Daryl's been posting some Loop related pictures on Instagram lately. And I guess he was, it's the three people you mentioned, I believe. And they're just some shots and whatnot. So I know he's been involved with Loop quite a bit. Yeah. Does he work for Microsoft?
No. No, he's got his own, Modern Work Mentor. He's got his own shop and does content stuff around that. And so I think Lorian is now officially working with Daryl. So,
nowadays I just naturally ask if someone's at Microsoft, because I feel like all the people I used to hang out with went to Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's a program manager, a PFE, something up there. So.
Yeah, there is a strategy for sure around the Microsoft MVP program, and for Microsoft to then kind of identify and cherry pick from the community of folks that they want to bring in. It's a Well, anyway, go into employment history and feelings about that. I'll just say, yeah, you never know where you might work in the future. So never say never about stuff as opportunities open up. But here's something interesting and more kind of true to our three backgrounds around SharePoint. Because one of the, one of the general concerns out there and understanding the differences between like ChatGPT and other AI platforms and Copilot, the fact that it's, you know, based around, you know, content accessible through the graph. So it's then security trimmed. But a lot of people, again, have to have those questions answered of how do we go in? How do we secure our data? So I don't know if you guys have had any of those data security concerns, you know, about Copilot with any clients.
I have not. Certainly interest in Copilot, but I wouldn't say any novel conversations about security. I mean, this is a conversation I think we've all had with customers who go out, somebody's elevated privileges, and they go look at search results and they panic because they think everybody can see it. I still have those conversations, but nothing specific to Copilot. I suspect that'll probably come up though.
But it's like the old Delve conversations, you know, again, or when fast search integration happened. So I'm happy that Microsoft is trying to get out ahead of that and answer that. I've got another tab, some of the latest that's happening around Purview and just governance and relate, you know, in general around Copilot to answer that question. So I mean, if you read through this, and again, there's more info and the links will be in the article talking about Purview and data governance around Copilot. It's just like Delve. Just like search, it requires that you go in and proactively manage your content, have sensitivity labels set up, have categorization of your content. It's going to make search more efficient in the first place. It's also going to decrease the number of unfortunate accidents that happen because you are sloppy with your information architecture. People finding content that they shouldn't because it's not properly secured.
Yeah. Security by obscurity does not exist in the AI and search-driven world.
Yeah.
So that's going on there. There's always a trickle of new features coming out. This blog post was just published yesterday. As of this recording, with this go live next week, just a week old, which is more of just kind of the latest marketing and sales positioning around Copilot. But it's always good to go read through, give that a look. Data residency, here's another part of security. especially with Copilot, people are asking, you know, how can I segregate my data? Especially if you have international clients, for those here in the US, your data residency selections, being able to go in and control where my data goes, how these tools, Copilot, access that data, it is very important to many of those customers. I know most Americans, if you're not in the government, don't care as much about this. Does it work? Can I get my stuff done?
Yeah. Just like we don't worry too much about localization.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody speaks English. So.
Here's one that came out a little bit. It's, I think after the last time, this was like a week after we talked last time. So Microsoft is, of course, getting out in front of it, a lot of the concerns around responsible AI development. How do we delay our AI overlords controlling every aspect of our lives?
Does it give answers?
No, this is one of those things I would recommend to go and read through if you have concerns about that. You know, Microsoft is definitely taking a leadership position in, you know, ethical AI, driving that conversation. And again, I make that the difference with Microsoft with Copilot versus ChatGPT and the company OpenAI going out and doing things. Not that they aren't thinking about the ethics of that, but with Microsoft being more business focused, they are thinking, they are more in tune with what's the right way, the ethical way to do these things within the business realm than OpenAI would, I would argue. That's my opinion. I'm not.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you. I mean, if Microsoft, I believe they were the first ones to introduce guardrails on the AI results, and that if you maintain those guardrails that they put in place, you've got that guarantee that they'll handle lawsuits and legal action against you if somebody does it. So, I mean, from the get-go, I would say that's been their position, and it just keeps getting stronger.
I know a couple other AI players out there. Again, I'm not following every vendor that's doing something, but have very similar offers to that. So again, I look at that. I think from an IT software development perspective, the industry has learned some lessons. And I think it also speaks to the fact, and this is a great thing that came up in the conversation with Adam this week. Jokingly said, what are your predictions for AI and Microsoft's role the next 3 to 5 years? It's like, no one, we're learning, we're listening, we're watching that, and we're trying to set the right path, the ethical path forward. I mean, what no one can make a prediction of where things are, because I think that is what I'm trying to say is companies, I think, are being more careful than ever. And you're trying to go fast, but at the same time, understand, adjust as they're going, because we don't fully understand. And we know that we don't fully understand how this is going to impact everything around us, how we work.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyone who's seen an AI hallucinate will tell you we don't understand exactly what's happening. It's not a discrete process that can be mapped from start to finish. So what comes out of there is, in my opinion, just a black box for us right now. I know the language model system and whatnot, but don't know what it's going to come back with. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll want me to leave my wife or change houses or something and express pure love for me like it did for that one journalist who tried to get him to leave his wife, which I thought was pretty funny.
So they've already got that movie. It's called basically. Called Her.
Oh, with Joaquin Phoenix.
I have not
seen that.
Scarlett Johansson. Mm. Yeah, it's not far fetched.
Mm.
I mean, the loser falling in love with an AI voice. That part's a little bit of a stretch, but we're not too far away from that. But can I just call him a loser? I mean, he is, but that character,
judgments.
No, I know it sounds a bit like we're throwing platitudes out there around this, but think of it from a business transformation perspective. We don't yet fully understand how this will change things.
Right.
It's not just an upgrade to a new version of SharePoint, and now we're going to roll out, deploy Teams more broadly. It's a fundamental change to the way that we interact with technology. That we, mm-hmm. You get a lot of not a power platform guy, but listen to some of those talks and some of the keynotes at shows, and they're talking about, like, we're not far away from, coding going away. For the most part. The majority things being done through a conversation with AI.
Yeah, it's a huge time saver, though. I mean, if you can, speak a paragraph about what you're looking for and an application gets built, like, how many hours and hours and hours of manpower is that?
At least 4.
Well, 2.5, I was going to say, but...
Yeah, well, I'm doing the project manager, 1.5 times, two times. There's more that's coming up. I don't really follow along very closely, but on the device side, of course, there's made the news about, you know, Microsoft developing, working with different various partners in chip development with Intel around that. So there's the new Surface for Business devices. I don't know if you guys are following that stuff at all, but there's some
new Copilot on my Surface. That's about it.
And here's the governance stuff. So this came out at the beginning of this week and going in and talking about Purview and specifically, and look, there's some new features, but a lot of it is what's already there out of the box available today. And Microsoft, again, is trying to get ahead of this to help organizations understand here is, because I'm sure they're voicing concerns about Copilot getting access to data. I mean, you have problems like Loop is a great example of, you know, a new feature that's out there. Teams and SharePoint do this where, you know, the I don't know now the numbers, but the volume of data growth, I mean, it just continues to grow. The number of documents, the size of data that the typical organization manages is just growing exponentially month after month. I think we create more content in a month or a quarter than all content created in the last 30 years. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, I've started to see some companies implement archival policies and stuff like that for teams because just the amount of data that's going into there is so massive.
You have to. Well, that's one reason why, you know, provisioning process and being able to enforce those guardrails without getting in the way of your end users collaborating is becoming so popular. Organizations realize, you know, where we can't do enforcement like when it's already the cat's out of the bag, you know, chasing back in. No, it doesn't work like that. So instead you say, look, here are five templates you could use. Create as many SharePoint sites and team site the teams as you want. But all the lifecycle management, all the policies, all the classification, they're in place.
Yeah.
And it's all being managed. Yeah, that's that. I think that's the purpose of like this around Purview. It's like to understand how to go in, set it up, categorize, protect your data out of the box, and then get out of the way of your people. I think that makes old sense. Model, it was like the old SharePoint model was lock it down, don't let anybody do anything. And what happens? What happens when you
nobody collaborates?
Or
they do. Servers under the desk.
Right. Or a new, the more common now is just, hey, there's this third party tool I paid for with my personal credit card and we're using that.
Yep.
See what else? You know, so there's this a little bit of competitive view. This is out on site Android Authority. Microsoft takes on ChatGPT Plus with worldwide release of Copilot Pro. So, you know, basically the same pricing. You know, the difference is $20 for ChatGPT, $20 for Copilot Pro, where it's built on. I don't remember if it says in here whether it's is Copilot Pro, is it built on ChatGPT 4 Turbo? Do you guys know?
I'm not sure.
So that might be a differential. Okay, there it is, as well as priority access. Okay. So, it does. Priority access to this. So, again, I'm already paying for that, but I look to the day where I can stop paying, you know, for ChatGPT and just use everything in Copilot and do that. But there's still some nuanced differences there. But the biggest difference being that with Copilot Pro, it's drawing from your Office productivity apps, your Word, PowerPoint, email, that Teams. Well, yeah, with that, with Pro, no, you need Enterprise for Teams. That's the primary difference there. Mm-hmm. You definitely want Copilot for Teams. It's awesome. If you guys don't have that, I'm sorry.
Can it take my meetings for me?
Yeah. Actually, Sean, if you missed it, like 3 days ago, we got MVPs. We got the Copilot licenses. If you didn't see that email, so you go point it at your personal tenant. So one license for year trial.
I'm of course, behind on email.
I already paid for it, so now I'm.
But
just
you're not
have
better.
I'll have a second profile. Oh, the nice thing about it is that I'll have a second profile and put it on a test account, so I can actually go in and do Copilot testing demo stuff and have a second profile.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
The other stuff that's out there. This is another space. And by the way, you guys have heard that Ignite is back, right? The old Ignite.
No, I did not hear that.
So nope. It's in Chicago in, I believe, November. And I think the Microsoft says they're expecting like 10 to 12,000 people. I think it could grow bigger if the demand is there. But I know I've been vocal about the model that the post-pandemic, the minimized 3,000 person version in Seattle, which was, you know, not the kind, the value that I was looking to get into. I'll soapbox for a second on this, but you guys have heard me talk about this. The problem that I have is that the value in conferences like Ignite is not the sessions. We get the phone calls, we see the book of news, we get all the announcements. Microsoft loves it because they get 10 or 20x the number of registrations and people that they can blast their marketing messaging out to. The problem is I don't get the one-on-one with MVPs, with the product and engineering teams. I don't get to go see the extensive expo hall and see what partner solutions and what other experts are doing in the space. The value to me, I'm more likely to go to a session that's done by either of you that are practitioners where you're sharing, I went and did this deployment, here's what I learned. And you get much more of that kind of content at the old model of the show versus the slick look at a screen, vendors can't give away swag. There's a problem right there. No swag at a conference? It's just wrong. It's morally wrong.
Right, like what are people going to leave, you know, for the people that clean their hotel rooms afterwards, right? Like all the free t-shirts they were getting.
I know.
And pencils and little lights and all sorts of things, yeah.
Blinking pens, yes.
I went to a woodworking conference a month ago, and you got like clamps and like double-sided sticky tape and screws and stuff like that. It was fantastic. Best swag bag I ever think I got.
Yeah.
And you get to meet people who are cool.
Yeah. Coming back from events, it's funny. I jokingly say this. I've got, you know, two rules. One for my wife, do not bring home t-shirts. And I failed. I came home from MVP Summit with one shirt. And, but it's that sport tech. It's the light, like the sweat wicking one. So for workouts, it's better. And then no backpacks. And if you've not been to a Microsoft conference, I have this giant bin in the garage that is nothing but never used Microsoft conference backpacks, but it's my collection. It's like, no, don't touch it.
I might use one of these someday.
Yeah.
Now it's
Spinal Tap moment.
So
yeah. But anyway, the point I was making about that is that because so much of the content is focused around practitioners sharing their learnings, more so than you get a little bit of that in the online, the virtual stuff, but it's more marketing versus practitioner, practical application of and adoption. And I love that there's more and more content coming around adoption now for Copilot, as we're starting to see, because most organizations, it's in production at very few places. Everybody's piloting it. It's like all you can do right now, because going back, we don't fully understand it. Like the change is happening. But you're starting to see some content that's coming out. Like this just is a kind of an announcement, PR Newswire, just as an example, like Infotech sharing kind of their best practices. You need to go and understand the goals. This is like project management 101. It's like for every project. Consider technical requirements. Yes. Assessing the existing technology landscape. Yes. enhanced data protection.
I said, and yet we still continue to miss these steps and typical projects that end up going sideways.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, at the core of all of this is having a deployment methodology, a change management methodology, adhere to it, learn from it, adjust. So pilot it out, learn from it, pilot again, learn from that, expand the pilot, pilot again. I mean, that's the path forward. One benefit is I just can't recommend the site enough. If you do not have this site bookmarked, it's come a long way from when it was launched. But now you go up in, you get the role-based with the product. So you go specifically, I love that it has the change, you know, information so you know what's new here. But I could go into, you know, the adoption resources around Copilot. This is where you're going to get the adoption kit that has templates, has project plans, has onboarding suggestions, adoption guidance. How do we get people excited about it? How do we ensure they're using it? Are we sure that we're taking the right steps moving forward, answering all the common questions for it? You're finding all those resources out here. And if you find like there's a resource missing from any one of these products, the solution areas, let Microsoft know. They're very responsive. And a lot of the content, it's not just Microsoft producing this. There's a lot of community people, a lot of fellow MVPs that are helping develop the materials. So you definitely want to bookmark this site. And here's one. Sorry, there's ads everywhere on this. But so Office 2024 coming later this year. I mean, a little bit of information. I think there's a lot here of what is, you know, differences between this and what's already available on Microsoft 365. Remember, because they develop for the cloud, and then they figure out after a while with the incremental, the constant change that's happening, what needs to be in a desktop and on-prem version of these products, and then create a version of that. So it's, I don't know, maybe they have it on a regular time, you know, schedule. I don't know what that is, but when was the last version? Was it 2019?
No.
Was there
20
of Office?
18, maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure. I've had a online version that gets updated all the time. So is that what they're rebranding it? If you look at that first bullet down there, it says Microsoft Office 364. Is that the one-time purchase version?
I think it's a typo, or it's a clever way of saying it's slightly less than the online version.
Microsoft 364. There's stuff, I mean, something other Mom would say.
Other incremental things. Yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes. I love this, the expansion of the mobile app. And kudos to the Microsoft team that's developing a lot of the apps, because especially around Teams, Teams app is so much more solid than the desktop app. And it's been for a long time.
The running joke for years, yeah. Why can't authentication work like it does on my phone?
Oh, right.
I was talked about, like, it's like I'd love just to have an emulator for the, you know, back when switching between tenants was just a pain, but it worked beautifully in the mobile app. Just have the emulator sitting on the desktop and have all your chats and be able to quickly jump. Now they fixed that. Do the air quotes again. Fixed that.
Yeah, like dogs get fixed.
Mostly works. It mostly works all the time.
50% of the time works every time. All the time.
But the mobile, I'm a fan of the mobile app. So that, you know, when they add more like the designer image AI feature, that capability, make it more robust there. I mean, I'm not using that kind of feature out there. I'm not building slides on my phone.
But you could.
I could.
Teeny tiny.
I just remember it was like Michael Knoll, and people that know Michael is a fellow MVP based out of San Francisco, and he travels more than just about any MVP. That I don't know if he's traveling as much as he used to, but like yeah, he and everywhere. Joel Olsen, who's an RD, for those that don't follow them, both just concluded visiting all 193 countries on the planet, the recognized countries. So the last country that they tried for years to get permission to go and get into was Libya. And it's one of the most dangerous for an American. And so they both just went and did that earlier. I think this year. Yeah, it just happened. I think the spring. Anyway, so you can go find Joel and Michael Knoll. Anyway, Michael Knoll for a while, I think for a year, he stopped carrying traveling to events and stuff with his laptop and just had his phone. And it didn't work out long-term, but I think where he just had his three or four decks and everything else in the cloud and was able to plug in, it wasn't an iPhone, but was able to plug into a pretty beefy phone, mobile device, but was able to do everything he needed. He had one of those Bluetooth little mini travel keyboards. And so he was able to get work done from the hotel and stuff on his phone. But still not enough screen for me.
Yeah, me too.
More stuff happening in teams. Again, this is something that if you have in like the chat compose box capability, a lot of the features, I mean, this is like I'm doing for this recording for the podcast, make sure they're always recorded in Teams. So it automatically goes and is captured. The transcripts are captured so I can more easily go through with it. What did we cover? What are each of the topics? Summarize that for me from these meetings. And it's fantastic to have that, that intelligent call recap and that hybrid experience. So lots going on with Teams. Yeah, that is in the enterprise version of Copilot. So if you don't have that, you definitely want to go try all that. Then there's the mesh stuff for either one of you. Well, Sean, you were for a while, you were following along with the mesh stuff and the AI stuff or the, not the AI stuff, the VR stuff.
Yeah.
Are you still doing any of that?
No, not really. I know that there's stuff been happening, but I mean, I still use VR occasionally, but I'm not as big a proponent for it anymore. And I think it's just this, you know, people that use VR think it's really cool. And then about a month later, they stop using it. It's not like, you know, playing a game on your computer or something, even though it's pretty much the same experience. So I'm not sure what that is, but I think that's one of the reasons. I haven't been looking more into it. It's just information overload.
Yeah.
Information overload.
You haven't gotten the fancy new Apple goggle vision, whatever it is.
I don't buy fruit products.
Yeah.
I cannot bring myself to do that.
And I've said this for a long time. Like I'm not as much of a proponent for the pure VR as I am for the AR solutions.
AR, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is just like, I will, if the Google Glasses come back and, you know, have something that's not the huge headset, but just has that screen overlay so that it enhances the things that I'm doing, I would absolutely love that. I love that concept.
You would become a glass hole, huh?
I would become a glass hole. But I think that the augmented reality, again, and we've talked about this in the past, but I think that is really where the business application of the technology really comes into play. Like the other stuff, like I get it. And my running joke is that now we have the E3 and E5. It's the E7 license where you get the pants or the legs for your avatar. You've got to upgrade with that.
I think they're pushing that back to E10 now.
Yeah. Well, I get it. And a lot of people that especially that work in the accessibility world, like love that having that as an option. And something I will say in defense of VR is that your brain adjusts so quickly. going and moving around in that environment. I mean, there's still some limitations of the devices and what you need and the cost around those things. But to go in and do a lecture and the ability to be sitting and watching a presentation, like, could I be doing that? Just looking at my 2D screen, of course. And you're watching a 2D, you know, presentation in a 3D VR world. But you have the ability, like, I could be sitting there. I could see Sean float over. Hey, there's Sean. I could go over and be like, hey, Sean, as we walk away from the lecture going on, we can have a side conversation. And it's spatially aware of that and find other people and go to virtual booths and all those kinds of things. Is it a replacement for the in-person? Like, I just don't think so. Like, I don't think we're anywhere close to that.
Yeah, I don't think anytime soon.
Yeah.
Probably not.
One day eventually. But when we get to like Wall-E level and we're just floating around in our little chairs that, you know, automatically change our clothes for us and get us Slurpees, you know?
So over on Thurrott, there's an article that came out today. I skimmed it around. So the Microsoft 365 Basic, you know, beefing up security and some of the mobile features that are out there. You know, so that, which is, it's just great to see, you know, further refinement of, and what typically happens with Microsoft, it has that, the trickle down economy effects. They go and do stuff. They charge the premium. After a year or two, a bunch of the innovation that happens at the premium level finds its way down to the lower tiers. And so you're starting to see that with even the M365 Basic capability. And then the last thing I wanted to point to was, you know, I'm just a huge fan of the WorkLab site, which is run by the research team at Microsoft. I think they're still in building 99 over there. I don't know where this team that does all this content is out of. These researchers might be different than the R&D team at Microsoft, but it's great to go in, and they're doing a lot of content around, you know, what is changing about the way people interacting with technology because of AI and what still needs to change. Like, where are the biggest adjustments going to be just in how we work in the working style? I think that's going to be the biggest topic as far as like adoption and really broadening the reach of Copilot is, you know, looking at, okay, here they rolled it out to, you know, they reached out to 1300 Copilot users and then go through and pull data. Let's look at specific stories, examples. How are you incorporating that into the way that you're working? What's different about the way that you're working? And we just don't have enough stories and data yet around this. So once we start having that, that's why I brought that up with Microsoft Ignite. I think that's going to be the first big conference where we're really going to start to see the adoption stories, this data coming in about how we're using Copilot. So that's about it. I don't know if there's any other big news that we've missed.
Probably.
Oh, the new Ghostbusters came out last weekend.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen it yet?
Going tomorrow with the kids?
Yeah, I tried to convince my wife to go see it tomorrow, and she said no thank you.
Oh, I'd go with you, buddy.
She's not a sci-fi. I have no problem going by myself.
Big popcorn.
Of course. Do they have fat cats out where either of you guys live?
No.
A cat that's fat, but
it's in a few states, sort of, but it's for folks that know, we that's my local. It's at one of the luxury theaters, so every seat is a recliner and all that stuff. I've got the member bucket mug, so it's super cheap for refills. And
ooh. Yeah, Christian is the only guy I have ever seen get a big thing of popcorn and then go back and get another one. When we were seeing Ghost in the Shell.
Did I share my popcorn?
Well, I got my own.
Yeah,
But I would not have reached for that popcorn. I might have lost my hand.
You are correct. I do that. Like if I go see a movie with one or more of my sons, and they know better. They like bring their own bucket. They've got member buckets as well or whatever. I said, all right, or we could share. And when it's empty, you're going back to refill it. You're paying for the refill. But yeah, I'm typically one of those, like in restaurants, are either of you like a sharing food person, or is this like, if you were hungry and wanted that, you should have ordered it. This is my food.
It depends on the restaurant. Yeah,
go back and forth.
Yeah.
If something is novel and, you know, maybe the first time we've eaten there, I know that I'll sometimes offer and share with someone, but generally I tend to fall into your category of you should have ordered it. Well, I'm not giving you mine.
Well, I excuse it because of just my big family upbringing. I'm the second oldest of 10 kids. Like you got some food, you would protect it.
Yeah.
my dog is that way. If you go and he's eating in the bowl and you go reach for his bowl, like he'll freeze and growl. He's
he'll cut you.
Before he tears into your hand.
Yeah. Down Cujo.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, really, as always, really appreciate your time and insights into these topics. And I'm sure we'll be doing this again in another month and a half.
Sounds about right.
Thank you for keeping us around.
And yeah.
You've been listening to the Collab Talk podcast. New episodes are published weekly, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and most other podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.